Well, good morning and welcome. It's good to see everybody here. If you have been here for very long at all, you should be familiar with what our theme is for this year. And our theme is honoring God and to glorify Him. And since it is the first Sunday of the month, we will continue that theme this morning. And it would be most appropriate this morning if you took out a Bible and followed along to make certain that all that is said is in accordance to God's Word. As we have considered this subject, we've had several different words that we've been looking at within Scriptures that really call our attention to our responsibility and our duty to glorify God and to honor Him. Such words as honoring, to treat Him as holy, to revere, to praise, to fear, to exalt, to respect, to glorify, to esteem, to magnify, to love, and to worship. And we've already had several lessons on this subject. We began with the idea of God not getting the glory and honor that He deserves, even from those who should know better. God even asked in Malachi, He says, "Where is my honor?" We've also looked at reasons to honor God, and we've had some of that covered this morning. If you've listened to the songs and if you've listened to the things that were said at the Lord's table, we've been reminded that God is truly worthy of all praise and all glory. And then in March, we considered what it means to honor God, and we looked at all those definitions, all those words, and we defined them, and it just sums up in this way. Honoring God, glorifying God, is about declaring His value in our lives, lifting Him up above all other things. And then in April, I believe, for me, this was a challenging sermon, a lesson on glorifying God publicly, more than just in these walls, but out in the world, telling people the greatness of God, proclaiming His excellencies. And I hope that we have had that in our mind and we've been striving to improve in that area. Well, where we're going to go this morning is a lesson that I don't think is going to be earth-shattering. I don't think it's going to be something terribly new for you, but I want to look at it from a little different direction, and that is honoring God through His Word. You have probably heard many sermons on the fact that we should be focusing on God's Word, and we should be a people that know God's Word, and frequently we do that because of the importance of God's Word in our lives. God's Word is our guide. It teaches us what is right. God's Word is directly connected to our salvation. But that's not the direction I want to go this morning. It's a similar message with a slightly different direction. And that is, we should be focusing on God's Word because it is a way that we are honoring and praising God, in which we are declaring His value. So what we had read for us this morning was Malachi chapter 2. And in verses 4 through 9, Malachi is receiving a message from God to the priests. And the priests were not living as they should. They were not paying attention to their heritage. And so God points out that He had given this covenant to Levi, their forefather. And He makes mention of Levi in verse 4, and He says, "My covenant with him was one of life and peace." I apologize for the interruption. Somebody was smart enough to put Kleenex up here, and it wasn't me. Okay, so in Malachi chapter 2, verse 5, "My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him as an object of reverence. So he revered me and stood in awe of my name." And so with Levi, what we have is this declaration. Here's somebody who reveres God and is in awe of His name. He's honoring Him and glorifying Him. And how is that made manifest? "True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." It was the way that he treated and declared God's word that was the manifestation of his reverence and his fear and his honoring God's name. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 58, a solemn warning is given to God's people. And it's again about honoring Him. He says, if you are not careful to observe all the words of this law which was written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you. And he goes on from there. But notice here in the end of verse 58, it's about honoring God. It's about fearing his name. But how is it manifested? In the way they were treating his word. Psalm 138 in verse 2. This is an interesting passage. It's one of those passages that, depending on your translation, it'll impact what it says. Not just how it says it, but what it says. Not a lot of passages like that. But in Psalm 138, in verse 2, let me read it from the New American Standard first. It says, I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word according to all your name. And so here he says, you've magnified your word according to your name. And there are multiple translations that use similar things. But I believe the NIV and the King James Version reveal the challenge that is involved in translating this particular verse. So hear this from the King James Version. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast manifested thy word above all thy name. Did you hear that? Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And so the translations are struggling with what that means, and they're trying to figure out how to translate that appropriately. But here's this passage that's saying God has taken his word and he has elevated it above his name. If we desire to worship and glorify and honor God, we simply cannot do it without giving honor and glory to his word. For he has exalted his word. I put up there John chapter 1 and verse 1 for a reason, which, of course, would be silly if I didn't. I've just put up a passage there for random. I don't try not to do that, but there seems to be a disconnect we have between God and his word. And there are many people today who love God and don't seem to care about his word. Well, I'm going to challenge them on whether they actually love God, if that's the case. Because God has treated his word in such a way that, how do you separate the two? You think about John 1 and verse 1. These are the words that God has chosen to use. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he goes on and he says later on, the Word became flesh. But for whatever reason, God has chosen to describe Jesus simply as the Word. And for us to try to make a disconnect between the Word and God is to do a great disservice to what God has done for us and what God has taught us. And so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, it's supposed to be our prayer and our desire, not only that the word is spread. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you. Our prayer, our desire should be for the word to be glorified, because ultimately we are seeking to have God be glorified and God be honored. And if you're curious as to how the word would be glorified, I think the Thessalonians did exactly that in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. When they received the word and they said, this is not the word of men, this is the word of God, that was when they were glorifying it, elevating it, showing its value. And so Psalm 56, verses 10 through 13, and really just want verse 10 here. In God, whose word I praise. In the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Your vows are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offering to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. But there, that declaration in verse 10, his word I praise. And so, yes, we could talk about the importance of God's word, and we could talk about it in regards to our salvation, and it is true. And we really shouldn't need anything more than that to be focused on God's word. However, I think it is almost a universal truth in our country. God's word isn't the focus of Christians. It's not the focus of our time. It's not really the focus of our heart. We've been distracted by so many things. And that should concern us regarding our salvation, concern us regarding our doctrine. But that should concern us about what it's saying about our relationship with God. What value we are putting on God is revealed on the value we put on His Word. And so I want us to consider whether we are glorifying God in our dedication to searching His Word. You are declaring to Him the value that He is to you, based on the time that you spend, based on the desire that you have in seeking out God's Word. We live in a time period in which communication has broken down. And really, it's not just communication is breaking down, but we are declaring value and we lack it. And I'm not going to say this, I'm on the stage. Podiums, you know, Bonnie will correct me on that one later. I may be on the stage, but I'm not standing above you. I'm not somehow better than you. I've done this, but isn't it a little frustrating when you call somebody and you're talking to them and then you suddenly realize that they're not really paying attention to you because they're actually surfing the internet or they're watching television? That's really frustrating because they're saying something about the value of your conversation with them, the value that you have to them. They're distracted. Or I'm sure we've all seen this when you go to a restaurant and you see this family and it's like they're not even together because they're all looking at their phones. Or sometimes you have the parents that are trying to talk to their kids and their kids are just totally disinterested. They just have their face down at their phone and they're texting or they're doing whatever. It's not just that there's a failure of communication going on, there's a failure of value. That is a declaration that says, your conversation is not that important to me. You are not that important to me right now. It is a way of distancing ourselves. I wonder what it is that we are doing, that we are distancing ourselves from God. That we are declaring to God, He's not that important. Because we are not the people that once were, that were so focused on reading and studying God's Word. We have so many other things that catch our attention and that we're distracted by. It's like we're staring at our telephone, but it's our life. Well, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, we're supposed to put this great value on this Word. When he says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. The value of God's Word in our life is supposed to be kindred to that of the way a child begs and yearns and needs the milk when they are a baby. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, I wonder if we're like these people that have put this value on God's Word, these noble Bereans, who searched daily to see if the things they were hearing were true. Do you have that television show? You know, that one that you just won't miss? The one that if something happens to come up and you can't be there for that night, for that time, you're definitely going to DVR it. Do you have that television show? I think most people I've talked to do. They have that thing that they're just so amazingly dedicated to. What value have we declared to God that we have television shows that we will not miss and we will make sure we get caught up on? But Bible study just falls by the wayside. What value are we declaring to His Word, to His message? What value are we declaring to Him in our lives? If we can find the time for something that is, let's face it, frivolous. I'm not saying wrong, I'm just saying frivolous. It's not that important, but we make it that important in our lives. What a slap to God's face. Parents who teach their children, it is crucial that you do your homework. It is crucial that you get an education. But then in regards to spiritual education, we don't make that crucial. It's random. It's when we have a chance. It's when we have time. What are we telling God is His value? When we say that worldly education is more important than spiritual education, And do not mistake me into saying that I'm talking about Bible class. I'm including Bible class. I'm talking about teaching your children at home. I'm talking about making sure, certain your children get the education they need. And remembering that what is more important, what should be of more value, isn't the worldly education, as much as it may be important, but it is the spiritual education. So if we were to look at the way that we search out God's Word, what value would you put on God in your life? That's the question. All right, so the next thing I want to consider is, do we glorify God in the way that we handle God's Word? So now we're searching it out, but how are we using it? And this is one of the ways that we declare God's value in our lives, if we're paying close attention or if we don't. I cannot tell you how many times I just tune something out because I decide it doesn't matter. Well, if we're tuning out God's Word, so we're reading it, it's there, but we're just not paying close attention to it, aren't we declaring it doesn't really matter? It's not really that important. There's a direct connection between love, and you might recall love was on our list just a little bit ago. Love is one of those ways that we glorify and honor God. There's a direct connection between love and obedience. Not just hearing God's Word, but applying God's Word. Jesus says in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And again, in 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 through 3, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. We live in a time period in which people are so focused on not focusing on God's Word. And they take pride in that, as if they're somehow more spiritual and more religious because they don't pay close attention to God's Word. Well, paying close attention to God's Word is an act of glorifying God. It is an act of honoring Him and declaring Him to be above all things, that we will pay attention to every little aspect of the things that He says. Consider again what was said in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 58. When he talks to the people of the Old Testament, and I recognize this is the Old Testament, but he desires for them to honor God's name. That last part of that verse, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God. That is revealed in verse 58 where he says, if you are not careful to observe all the words of this law which are written in this book. Notice, careful. And all. Not a part, not a sum, but to be careful to observe all that is said. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, yeah, we recognize Deuteronomy 28 verse 58. That's the Old Testament, right? But we live in the New Testament time period. We live under a time of grace, and so now we don't need to really pay close attention to what God tells us to do because we're saved by grace. But it is in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, comparing what we have now to what they had then, the Old Testament. And he says, we must pay much closer attention. They didn't do a good enough job. We're not supposed to give up and say, hey, we'll do better at not paying attention. We're supposed to do better at paying attention. There's a risk there. There's a danger, lest we drift away from it. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 talks about us desiring to please God. And how do we do that? Well, he finishes it by saying, handling accurately the word of truth. The way we use God's word is a way that we are showing His value. To misuse it, to misquote it, to not apply it to our lives, is showing that God really doesn't matter that much to us. And then we're not supposed to add or take away to it. In Leviticus chapter 10, you have one of these moments when God shows how serious He is about His commandments and about His law. And so you have Nadab and Abihu and these priests that are ultimately killed for the way that they apply God's word to their lives. And so, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord, and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, 'It is what the Lord spoke, saying, By those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people I will be honored.' So Aaron therefore kept silent." What was the problem? Well, we could talk about how they did something that God didn't tell them to do, that they just created their own way of doing things. We could say that, but that's not the problem. The problem was they didn't honor God. The way they didn't honor God was they created their own laws, their own wills, their own ways, their own form of worship. You want to honor and glorify God? This is enough. Don't add. Don't take away. This is enough. And so we're told that that's important to God in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 through 19, where he warns about anybody who adds to this book or anyone who takes away from this book, the plagues that are written within there would be applied to them. We are not to add or to take away. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, the passage we've already looked at, when it talks about that we are like newborn babies to long, he doesn't say to long for the milk of the Word. He says for the pure milk of the Word. If we're going to honor God, we have to declare that this Word is set apart. It is special. There is nothing else in the world that is like it. No other philosophies that man has that compare to it. No other thoughts that have entered into our own mind that can relate to it. It is God's Word. It is special. We cannot add. We cannot take away. We will not mix our own thoughts with it. And when we do that, we declare God to be truly valuable, truly honorable, truly worthy of all praise and all glory. And when we don't, we declare God is, well, he's about as good as my own thoughts. He's about as good as the own philosopher's thoughts. He's just like everybody else, and that's his value. So yeah, we could talk about this again in regards to salvation, and rightly so, but there's more to it than that. It's about the value we're putting on God. And so then in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 9, this passage that we looked at before where these priests were not doing the things they were supposed to be doing, what were they doing? They were teaching with partiality. They were teaching some of the message, but not all of the message. And God was displeased with them for it because they weren't showing the same reverence that Levi had. So the last thing I want us to consider, and I think up to this point that everything I've said has been pretty standard. I don't think any of you are going home shocked saying, "Can you believe what Jared said? He said we should focus on God's Word." Pretty sure we're not going to get any of that this afternoon. But I want you to pay attention to this. I want you to consider this next point. And that is, do we glorify God by our use of His Word? And by that I don't mean obedience to it. I mean our language, the way that we talk. So you look at Ephesians, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. And this is one of those passages that caused this sermon to occur in this context. He says, "Whoever speaks is to do as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So that gets my radar going. I'm looking at all these passages about glorifying God and honoring God and the ways that we're doing that. And here's this passage that says that we're supposed to speak as the utterances of God, so that in all things God may be glorified. So how are we going to glorify God? We're going to speak like we're speaking from God. Let our words be, or let's reverse that, let His words be our words. And so in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13, a similar concept. We'll we'll start in verse 12. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words." And so he is saying, he's talking about the source of their message, the source of the things that they're saying. And it isn't human words, it isn't human wisdom, it isn't human ideas, it is spiritual words, spiritual wisdom, spiritual things given to us by God. And so we're supposed to do things the way God said to do them. We're supposed to talk about things the way God said to talk about them. And Jesus set this principle in John chapter 12 and verse 50. When Jesus talks about his message, he says, "I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me." So he is saying that because I revere this message, because I recognize the value of it, I will speak it just as it is, just as the Father has told me. So we live in a world that we're surrounded by people that claim to be Christians, but quite frankly, I can usually pretty quickly tell they're not. And I could do that based on their behavior. I could do that. But you know what usually betrays them? Their speech. They don't sound like the Bible. Whether it be the topics that they choose to talk about, or the type of language they use. And I'm not talking about foul language, though that's a dead giveaway, isn't it? But I'm just talking about scriptural concepts, scriptural language. Now, you have to be careful about this because we have multiple different translations, and so there's multiple different language that is used. But I can listen to sermons on the radio from preachers at these mega churches, and it doesn't sound like the Bible. It doesn't sound like words infused with the Holy Spirit, words from His mouth, from God's mouth. It sounds like human wisdom. It sounds like the philosopher that I heard on PBS the other day. It sounds like all these other places, but it doesn't sound like God. You use the same principle, don't you? We go out and we're going to another city and we need to visit a church. One of the first things we do is we look to see if they're using a scriptural name. Do they sound like the Bible just in what they choose to call themselves? Now understand from that, we could look for a Church of Christ. That's a scriptural name. That's not the only scriptural name. Churches of God, others. Just because somebody uses a name doesn't mean they're right on the inside, but it's a good indication to start. If somebody didn't even care about the name that they use and they just took random names and put them together, that doesn't sound like what I see in the Bible. You do that, don't you? And so then we look at these other churches and we look at all these various things that they have that you can't find anything talked about like it in the Scriptures. And it tells us something about them. And so we can point fingers. But perhaps we should examine ourselves. If we want to glorify God, we should use His terms. We should use His language. We should call things the way He has called them. And I don't think that we're as innocent in this area as we might like to think. Perhaps our speech betrays us to some degree. Because we have things that we refer to that we don't have scriptural patterns for. And I want you to think about this. I want you to understand this is a thought question, a thought process. This is not Jared getting up saying, "All right, we're all now condemned because we use words that you won't find within the Scriptures." That's not the point. But I want you to think about it. One of our elders, Jim, has brought up many times terms that we hear and sometimes we use that we don't find within Scriptures. He's talked about going to church. You don't find that in the Bible. He has an interesting one, gospel meeting. You don't find that one in the Bible. Worship service. And there are more. I'm not saying that these words are wrong, But the more of those words that we have in our vocabulary, the more of those words we're using, the more we are connecting ourselves to modern tradition than we are to the first century teaching. And the less glory we are giving to God. Those terms are accommodative terms. They're descriptive terms of things that we're doing that aren't necessarily wrong. I'm not saying that. And again, I'm not saying that it's wrong for us to use those words, but we ought to stop and think. Why isn't the language that we have within the Scripture sufficient? Again, not necessarily wrong, but it should scare us just a tad to make us re-examine the things we do and re-examine the words we use. It ought to be that we're a little like Peter in Acts chapter 3, and actually it's Acts chapter 4, when Peter stands before the council, and by the things that he says and by the boldness that he has, they began to recognize he'd been with Jesus. It ought to be that when people listen to us, they begin to recognize us as having been Bible believers, Bible followers. Because what we're really saying there is people that glorify God, His way, His doctrines, His word. Something to consider. So yes, study God's word because it's necessary for the salvation of your souls. Yes. But in our quest to glorify God, we must examine how we treat His word. Because that is one of the ways that we will glorify His name and exalt Him above all others. I thank you very much for your time and for your attention. If there are any here who are not Christians, we have as a tradition of our own to give you an opportunity to become one, to give you an opportunity to declare your faith that you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, to give you an opportunity to have your sins washed away and to be born again, saved, one of God's children. So if you're not a Christian, but you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, now's the time, and we encourage you, we beg you to take it, to come forward and declare your faith, to repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized into Christ. And if you are a Christian and you have fallen away, we implore you to come back, to start again, to improve. Because together, that's what we're trying to do. Every day, we're trying to get a little bit better, to be a little bit more pleasing to God and to glorify Him in our lives. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
Make me a servant just like you.
Okay.
Hi, Mom.
There we go. She's looking for it.